I'm Carla Pereira, KC1HSX, and this is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news, features, and opinion from ARRL headquarters in Newington, Connecticut. For listeners who rebroadcast ARRL Audio News on repeaters, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to momentarily stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset. These are our top stories for Friday, January 12th. Researchers at the National Institute of Standards and Technology, or NIST, have demonstrated that quantum physics might enable communication and mapping in locations where GPS, cell phones, and radio are not reliable or don't work at all, such as indoors, in urban canyons, underwater, and underground. NIST announced the technology advance on January 2nd. The technology may have marine, military, and surveying applications. The National Institute of Standards and Technology team is experimenting with very low-frequency, digitally modulated magnetic signals, which propagate farther through buildings, water, and soil than conventional electromagnetic signals at higher frequencies. According to now-retired project leader Dave Howe, AD0MR, quote, "The big issues with very low-frequency communications, including magnetic radio, are poor receiver sensitivity and extremely limited bandwidth of existing transmitters and receivers. This means the data rate is zilch. The best magnetic field sensitivity is obtained using quantum sensors. The increased sensitivity leads, in principle, to better range. The quantum approach also offers the possibility to get high-bandwidth communications like a cell phone has," close quote. The researchers have demonstrated detection of digitally modulated magnetic signals by a magnetic field sensor that relies on the quantum properties of rubidium atoms. The technique varies magnetic fields to modulate or control the frequency, specifically the horizontal and vertical positions of the signal's waveform produced by the atoms. The National Institute of Standards and Technology developed a direct current magnetometer that uses polarized light as a detector to measure the spin of rubidium atoms in a tiny glass cell induced by magnetic fields. Changes in the atom's spin rate correspond to an oscillation in the DC magnetic fields, creating alternating current voltages at the light detector that are more useful for communications. The researchers hope to extend the range of low-frequency magnetic field signals by boosting the sensor's sensitivity, suppressing noise more effectively, and increasing and efficiently using the sensor's bandwidth. Santa Barbara Amateur Radio Club members kept a close watch on the Thomas Fire after it broke out in early December. Using a variety of the club's analog and digital amateur radio assets, radio operators were able to observe firefighting efforts firsthand and pass along immediate information, often before it was reported by official sources or by local news media. The Santa Barbara Amateur Radio Club operates 5 communication sites in Santa Barbara County, including sites on Diablo Peak on the mostly uninhabited Santa Cruz Island and on Santa Ynez Peak. Starting in mid-December, a round-the-clock emergency net convened on 2 meters as commercial power for much of Santa Barbara County was cut and the fire descended on residential communities in Santa Barbara County, prompting multiple evacuation orders. With repeaters on generator power and many operators running on battery power, net traffic consisted of official information, including evacuation orders, live reports on the rapidly approaching fire line from operators who remained inside the mandatory evacuation area, related traffic about firefighting efforts, and wind and weather conditions. Santa Barbara Amateur Radio Club volunteers set up an ad hoc remote receiving station to stream live fire ground and air communications audio over the internet and mesh network. As fire crews came off duty, one firefighter and amateur radio operator joined the net to offer a first-hand account of operations from an insider's perspective. Santa Barbara Amateur Radio Club members also assisted visiting fire crews with mobile radio antenna repairs in the field. The largest in modern California history, the Thomas Fire caused devastating losses in Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. In Ventura County, the Thomas Fire damaged or destroyed some amateur radio resources normally available to provide emergency communication. It was an amateur radio TV camera that caught the first images of the Thomas Fire on December 4th. WX1BOX, the amateur radio station at the National Weather Service office in Taunton, Massachusetts, joined numerous skywarn nets across New England in activating for an early January nor'easter that brought significant coastal flooding, damaging winds, with hurricane-force wind gusts downing trees and power lines, and heavy snow accumulations to the region. The eastern coast of New England experienced high snowfall rates, whiteout conditions, and even thundersnow. A dramatic drop in barometric pressure generated a so-called bomb cyclone. WX1BOX was active for 16.5 hours, supporting data gathering for the National Weather Service. Local and state emergency managers, broadcast media, and other agencies also used these reports for situational awareness during the storm and to assess the need for any later recovery efforts.
And now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
As we were preparing this week's satellite news, our newest satellite, Fox 1 Delta, was launched at 10:59 p.m. on January 11th. Within the hour, the satellite should become operational and we should receive reports from hams around the world that have received the initial telemetry. In fact, Anatoly, UA9 UIZ, received telemetry around 0528 UTC. This makes for another amateur satellite in orbit. The satellite has many features, and if you would like to prepare your station for transmitting on 1.2 gig and receiving on 2 meter, or using the 70 centimeter transmit and receive on 2 meter, then you should look on amsat.org, scroll all the way to the bottom, where the Getting Ready for Fox 1D information is located. You can get your pre-launch caps, the steps for setting up your radio to adjust for Doppler, as well as information about the telemetry and the onboard science experiment. We will have more information next week about Fox 1 Delta and possibly its new AMSAT name, AO something. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and this is the ARRL Audio News Propagation Forecast for Friday, January the 12th. Spaceweather.com reports that the sun's extreme ultraviolet and X-ray output has essentially flatlined. This translates to sharply reduced ionization in the Earth's atmosphere, and hams certainly know what that means. According to Space Weather, this, combined with the plummeting sunspot numbers, points to a deep and potentially long solar minimum. Forecasting the length of a solar minimum, however, is an inexact science, at best. There is a tiny spot on the sun at the moment, but it's so weak it's barely worth mentioning. We have a stream of solar particles headed our way, and it's due to arrive Saturday, but the disruptions will be mostly confined to the polar regions. 80 and 40 meters should still be in decent shape for the North American CWQSO Party contest this weekend. On VHF and UHF, keep your eyes out for band openings on 2 meters in southeastern Texas and northern New England in particular. FT8 digital operators are also reporting some sporadic openings on 6 meters.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.